Alrighty, hello everybody, it's the Brant. Here's the weekend update for this episode. I may stop doing them by part and start doing them by date, because I think it'll be easier for me to track in terms of all that. But here's the update for this weekend, Saturday, March 21st, and Sunday, March 22nd. Things are going well. We obviously had the weekend and things like that. The portal's closing down, so we're moving towards that element. Got a lot of things done. It was really nice out both days. It was a little chillier on Sunday. But the kids, man, they spent like the whole time out on the trampoline, especially Saturday. They must have been out there for like 5-6 hours. And they were on the trampoline, and they brought blankets out, and they were playing outside. And we were taking turns as adults going out with them, hanging out with them. They just did a great job hanging out together. So that was really nice to see. We did a bunch of other things as well, some cleaning stuff and project stuff. Got the dining room and office officially switched. I did a lot of setup getting ready for school, which is, I think, it's going to hinder a little bit of me doing this now that I'm going to be back at school at home and trying to figure all that out. So certainly this week, while I get used to everything, these might be a little briefer or a little more interrupted, or 2 days in one or whatever. In terms of all that, I was trying to do a live show with Jordan Schoenberger, and we just couldn't figure out how to get two people on camera at the same time to do a feed without, you know, some kind of paywall of $15-$80 a month, although maybe some of those things are free now. So that was tricky to be able to do, so we'll have to see. And I went on Facebook Live, and people were all excited, so I don't know, I started thinking about what could I do on Facebook Live that'd be interesting. Tonight we're going to try out doing... It's weird to say tonight we're going to try it out. That's okay. Then I'll report on it. We're going to try doing code names on Zoom with some friends. We usually have like a game night. We're going to try doing the friends game night and just try code names. If we decide to do something else, we will. But for now, we're just going to stick to that and see how it goes. So that's kind of our plan there and doing that. So I'll try to report back on that. What other things did we do? So I was reading and they were talking about how, you know, payments are getting delayed. So like for me, my student loans are getting delayed, some mortgages, or people want them to be delayed. And I understand all that, not trying to get into the politics of that or where people are at, just kind of for me is all I'm focusing on. And, you know, we're like, well, I'm still getting paid for my job, and obviously I'll still be teaching. So, you know, should we be paying all those things? And somebody said, you know, if you don't pay those things, like it makes sense to keep paying them because you have the money, but you could take the delay, save up that money, and then, you know, order extra from restaurants, go to small businesses and support them once, as they're closing here or once they're open. And I thought, wow, that's a really good idea. Take that as delayed funds, you know, whatever I pay hundreds of dollars a month for my student loans, and instead put it into some businesses and order food. And it was even encouraging people to order food more often than you would, because we might average once a week, like eating out or ordering food. We tend to order more than we eat out. So eating out, I would say, is once or twice a month at most is usually what we plan. But ordering food might be a few more times, like maybe two, three, four a month. So that sounds high. It feels like it's usually once a week for one or the other of those. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm not trying to get into the details of that or convince anybody why we do what we do or what you should do. And so it was just interesting to say, you know, eat out more than you would so that you can support those restaurants and whatnot. So we did last night, and we got sushi, and it was delicious. And we did that. It was interesting when I got there, they were very delayed and backed up. And then eventually there was about 10 people all social distancing inside the restaurant. I thought that was interesting, but good. People are heeding the warnings. I'm seeing that, you know, California beaches were packed with the 40 million people asked to be locked down. So it's tough. It's tough to tell people, like, these are unprecedented times and you need to take unprecedented measures. And it's awesome to see people, like, outside. Like, we want to bike and we want to go outside and we want to take walks and we want to do these things. And it's like, yeah, but just not where things are crowded. So I get it. I see where it's tricky for people on that front. I know we did some other things, but I don't specifically remember, and I didn't do a good job tracking over the weekend. But I do remember that last night we sat down, all the adults, and somebody had wanted to watch Clue, the 80s movie, which in board game circles tends to be heralded as like the greatest board game related movie of all time. And it is wonderful. The acting is so good. The timing, And it's really, really funny. So many tongue-in-cheek jokes of just ridiculousness. And even in today's time, it was interesting. So we watched Clue, and that was fun. So I highly suggest it if you haven't seen it. I believe it's on Amazon Prime. So there's that. So jumping into games, we've played more The Crew. That seems to be kind of the game that I think we'll remember looking back on this whole time, be like, man, remember when we sat inside and we just like basically beat The Crew? We did play it with five, and it was super tricky, super hard with five players, and noticeable distance dis difference from four players. And I know with three, people are saying it's too easy. So I think four is definitely the right number for that game, and the scaling will be interesting in time. Kind of reminds me of Root, that you have an amazing game at a certain player count, and then as you change the player count, it significantly changes how good the game is. I think Root as a four-player base box, maybe add Otters if you can really get a good group of people working, playing, then they'll work well in terms of a four-player game. But when you move that game, five is okay. It's pretty good. Six is terrible. Three is okay. Three's pretty good, actually. Three's probably better than five. And two is just not that interesting at all. I think six being the worst in Root. And it feels that way in The Crew. It feels like four is just what the game is made for, and three is okay. It's too easy, and five is just way too hard. They do offer some things that you can do, so we'll see how it all goes. There, I'm getting all these texts for everybody who wants to do code names tonight, so we're gonna have a whole bunch of people on Zoom. We'll see how it goes. Maybe this will be a new thing. People will be playing games via all this, although I really like face-to-face. I don't want to not see my friends. All right. So what else did we play? We played Pictures. So Pictures is a really neat game that Kathy and I played in PAX Unplugged. Should I talk about this the other day? I think I did, but I'm just going to mention it anyway. We played Pictures, which I think I talked about on the last blog, with Shakespeare after all that. And then we played Inner Compass. So this is a new game from AEG, and it was pretty interesting, although I have to say with two, it was too fast. I know Kathy didn't really enjoy it. It's kind of an abstract game, but you're moving around. What's really neat is the direction you move your pawn. There's like four cards available, north, south, east, west. And whatever direction you move, that's hence the inner compass, you can then opt to draw a card from that direction so you know what you're getting. And if you match colors, you get bonuses, and you're trying to place blocks down by set collection to score victory points. It was super quick with two people, so I could see where that made it come across not quite as exciting. But I definitely want to try it again with more players. It seemed pretty smooth. I really liked it when I was learning it, and then when we played that two-player game, it was kind of a little bit quicker, so I think it might work better with more players. We played Cover Your Kingdom with the kids, and they generally enjoyed it. It took a while, and they kind of got used to the take that, but didn't like it. And Zephyra teamed up with Brian for whatever reason. She wanted to be on Brian's team, and they played. So this is a Grandpa Beck's game, and it's neat, the artwork and everything. It's kind of fun. It's super take that. But it's kind of in that style where you know what you're playing, so it's not such a big deal. And then yesterday I played Similo. I'm trying to actually put it in my app now because I forgot to put it in there earlier. Whoa. Okay. So I played Similo with Kathy and Brian. So this is that we have the history one. And so we played where one player. Sorry, we played the history one, and so what happens is one player picks a card, and you get a historical figure, and then you lay out a grid of cards. So you're secretively one of those 12, and then people are trying to pick which one it is by you giving them clues with other characters, basically saying, so mine was Alexander the Great, and I'm saying this character was like Napoleon Bonaparte, and that I'm thinking it's a leader, he's male, a warrior, you know, those kind of things. And kind of kept laying out cards. So there's 12 cards. They have to eliminate one. Then you put another card, two. Then another card, three. Another card, four. And then it gets down to two cards, and it's a 50-50 shot. We managed to get it down where we had a female and a male. So then I could just drop a card and say it is or is not like this one. And that was game. So we did pretty good. But that was a neat little game. I enjoyed that one, and I could definitely see that getting more play. We might actually try that with Zoom tonight as well. There. I'm sorry. I'm working on my BG Stats app while I'm talking to you, so I don't mean to be non-focused. And then last up, yesterday we played the Ticket to Ride map. The UK one, and that is just my favorite map. It was a little weird because we removed the advanced technologies, and they definitely need to be in there. Because there's one boat that goes to New York, a ferry, and it's, I don't know, like 9 or 10 cards long, maybe even be more than that, like 12. And it's worth 40 points, and Brian scored that, and then it was just really hard to come back from that. He could just run his trains out, and we were done. So it kind of made that one important, whereas in the advanced mode, you can get, like, longest train and most tickets and points for tickets and other things that you can manipulate. But what I really like about that game is it almost strips Ticket to Ride back, which sounds crazy, but it limits what you can do, which actually makes the game more complex because you can only build one or two length routes. You can't build ferries. You have to get upgrade. You can only build in the England area to go to Wales, Scotland, and Ireland and France. You have to get concessions that allow you to build there. So basically you start from the ground up and you're like building your engine of what you want to do. I over-teched. I got too much tech and it didn't benefit me. Rachel went for like the ticket strategy and was like a turn or two short. Brian was able to run it out before she could jump past in points. But I really, really like that map. It's definitely a gamer's map. I would not play Ticket to Ride the first time with people on this map. I've never tried the Pennsylvania one. That's on the other side. So I need to do that. But I actually made a list of games. I was like, you know, I would be interested in trying these games, or these are new ones that kind of pass me by, or I've always wanted to play Bunny Kingdom again, and I haven't. I made a big list of games, and Brian found great joy in that, and he went and dug basically all of the games out. So we've got a big list of games that I've been interested in trying, with the Snowdonia Deluxe, which Kathy went to town yesterday. Not literally, figuratively. And she broke that open and found the Rainer document in BGG and organized all the pieces and the cards and made dividers. She loves organization. So she did all that. So we can dig into Snowdonia, which will be fun. And it's interesting, too, to see people more interested in wanting to play games with all this. Like, we just want to sit down more often. So we kind of get an afternoon game in and then an evening game in, usually, in terms of that. Not quite like a convention, but kind of along those lines. So there's that. What else do we dig out amongst those? I'm sure the things I'll be talking about. Alibari, Nice Cup of Tea, which I think is kind of a variant of Snowdonia. And Aftershock is supposed to be really good. And Freshwater Fly, Bunny Kingdom I mentioned, and Fast Loss, and I don't know, a whole bunch of other stuff that we're going to hopefully dig into. Obviously, it'll be over the next upcoming weeks. And I'm going to be working for school, but I'm also going to try to throw some in hours up at the portal. We're going to try to, you know, revamp everything. So when people walk in, once it opens again, it'll be new and fresh and clean and whatnot. So I think we're going to put in some hours up there, kind of evening, doing all that stuff. So that is the plan. That is the weekend. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. I will post as much as I can here, and we'll continue on with this. Thanks so much. I hope you're doing great. I hope your spirits are up. We'll get through this. All right. Bye.